Welcome to the ODD Collective on Wolf Spirit Radio and everbeyond.info. Oppositional Defiant Disorder. Hosted by Luz Agubena, Nancy L. Hopkins, and Cindy Evans. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, we're on.
Okay, hi out there. Yeah, I wasn't hearing the background music, so everything's good with the sound?
Oh, yeah, we're on. Sorry, I must have had it really low down. It was very quiet.
Okay,
it did
all right,
play.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay, so, so on you go.
Okay, it's May 31st, 2015. Sunday. It's the fifth Sunday, which is why you get to have another opportunity to listen to me, because we are on the ODD Collective Radio Show. And we take turns doing the shows to try to give people a voice out there. And today we might have Laura Cross. We don't exactly know what happened to Laura. She was up a little bit ago, but she's not up now, so I don't know if she's lost in time. I hope everybody's doing really well. Jay's with me, JP, and because I was going to basically just ask Laura questions and let her talk, I don't have anything really planned.
You're as well planned as me, huh?
Yeah, because really what we try to do is we try to give people, we want to find out, well, ODD is Oppositional Defiant Disorder, and it's a psychiatric title for some disease that kids have, but that's just kids being kids. And it's part of the ridiculous matrix of stupidity that we've been countering all of our lives here, most of us. And so when we do the shows, Luz does one that is more into helping people understand how they can help themselves. And I really try to give people the ability to explain how they figured out the matrix. You know, what was it, what went wrong with you that you didn't fall prey to the brainwashing? And how did you get out of it, and what are you doing with it? And some of the conversations we've had are just been very, very profound. And it's, I'm sure that if one person has gone through something like that, then there's probably others that have done similar things. So we don't exactly know where Laura is, and so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to talk to Jay here for a little bit about the two books that have suddenly become synchronistic with whatever it is that we're doing.
Oh, yes.
The first one is Sean David Morton's book, The Sands of Time. And that one, I had heard about it, of course, because of Sean and JP. And so I tried to get, I went and ordered the book. Now, when you order a book like that, where you go to their websites, go to my website, I don't know where the money goes for some of these books, but it's not going to me. I mean, I've got Amazon, I've even got Barnes & Noble for one of them. And people buy them in Barnes & Noble, I never see anything from them. So I don't know what's out there. I don't care enough about money, unfortunately, because it is energy and I should probably pay more attention to it, to take the time to really look into it. But so I did what I you know, asked people to do, is to go to the person's website, because at least they get the money right then and there, you know, and it's money. It's not like $2 for a month. And so then it didn't get here, and it didn't get here, and I thought, well, gee, I never even checked to see if it went through in the credit card. Well, it didn't get here, and I finally decided maybe it never got through. And at exactly the right moment, it came in the mail. Boom. Had it come earlier, I don't think it would have had the impact it did on me. Because Walt had developed this device. Again, he said...
Walt develops devices, doesn't he? I develop a limp sometimes, but Walt develops a design.
he sends me this thing that looks like an eyeball. it's got a magnet in it. It's partially the one side of it looks like it, you can look through it. You know, it's clear, and then it hits the shungite below it in the magnet. And when he was actually when he cast it, when it was curing, it developed a very peculiar vortex in the bottom of it, and the vortex sealed itself in the resin, so you can actually see this counterclockwise bizarre vortex. So that gave it a kind of a flat bottom instead of being completely spherical. So he sends it to me, and I'm going like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? And the first thing I got was put it over the fish tank. Now I have a 55-gallon fish tank here, and there's just plexiglass on the top of it, so it's easy to set this thing right over the fish tank. I set it there, and well, what am I supposed to do with it now? And I don't have a clue. I'm not getting any messages, no inclination to do anything further. And, you know, for a couple of days, I just kind of look at it every once in a while, and then I looked at it, and it said, I swear it said to me, I need another part. And I'm going, oh, this is one of these two-part things. Well, no sooner did I get that message than Walt gets on Skype with me, and he starts telling me about this device that he's making for the smart meters. And as he's talking to me, I'm going, this is not for the smart meters. He doesn't know what he's making this for. I'll just let him make it, you know. Oh, sounds good, Walt. Yep, let's do that. Okay. So it gets here, and it's a triangle, probably an inch and a half, 2 inches maybe, triangular shape. So the legs are like, I mean, the sides are like 2 inches. Of course, it's got the magnets. It's got an up, it's got a down. So I take it on over there, and I stuck the eye on it. And it was like, nothing happened initially. It was like, it's just sitting there. And so I'm like, it obviously belonged. You could feel a lock that these two liked each other. But it wasn't, nothing seemed to be happening. So then my friend came over, Cindy, and I said to her, hey, Cindy, you know, Walt sent me these things. And so she starts to play with them, and she put them together. And she was, now she's not, it's not the fish tank I gave it to her. She's sitting in a chair, and she's got them on the table next to her. And she puts them together, and she goes, oh, this is very strange. I said, what are you feeling? And she said, I'm feeling this tingling all over me. And I said, is it uncomfortable? She said, no, but it's just this, it's like waves of energy or something that's causing this tingling. And so, okay, we were sitting there for a little bit, and then she turned and she looked at it. Now, this is somebody that was not particularly energy sensitive a few years ago, but over the years has gotten very energy sensitive. So it's not like you necessarily are born with it. You just have to learn how to tune.
I think, really, Nancy, we are all getting it. We're all getting more and more energy sensitive.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind. But what she did was she looked at it, and she said, oh, my God, look at that. And then I looked at it, and etherically, I call it second sighting. You could see this beam of energy coming right out of that eye. I mean, it was... very thick. It was at least 2 inches thick. It was just kept going up. I don't know where it went, but she said it must be some kind of communication device of one sort. And I thought, well, maybe, you know. So I put it back. After she leaves, I put it back up on the fish tank and everything. And Walt starts talking to me about, you know, could this possibly be a tachyon field? And I'm like, I'm not sure tachyon is real. And, you know, I think it is in Star Trek, but I'm not sure it's actually been accepted as a theory.
Oh, yeah.
And there's pros and cons still, like everything else, you know. But the word tachyon did not, normally if I hear the right word, I get yes, yes, yes. And I wasn't getting a yes. I was getting close, but not no cigar. And that's when I got Sean's book. And so he's talking in the very close to the beginning of it about the, they were at Montauk at the time that they were discussing the Montauk and the Philadelphia experiment. And, he got into a discussion of neutrinos and how they, neutrino being the lowest substance that they can identify in the quantum area, that, and it doesn't have any mass virtually, so it passes through us all the time. And neutrinos have in fact been found. They've actually been able to measure them, but from some mine. I think they go down deep in the mines to be able to do this. And as soon as I saw the word, I was like, oh, what's this, you know? And they take the neutrinos and they start them spinning, which is going to be a weird thing. So it's got to be on the border of electromagnetic spinning and quantum, at the quantum level, because you really don't have any 3D matter involved. It's so minuscule. But like everything else in the universe, you start something spinning and all sorts of magical energy things happen, because energy follows geometry, and spinning geometry is just like, you know. So they spin the neutrinos in a field, and when they do that, that causes a bending of time and space, as I understand it, so that they're almost not so much in a bubble, but in a fold of time and space. Was that what you understood it, Jay? Did you get that?
Yes, neutrinos, microparticles. Now, the thing about neutrinos, yes, you have to go deep to detect them, because they're the only thing that passes through deep solid matter, aren't they? There's some kind of subspace communication that goes on between these subatomic particles when you spin them all, and this is again, this is like what they call quantum entanglement, isn't it?
Yes, that's exactly what I think it is. And he did, Sean did mention that they were used for, this is the secret to communications through the universe, you know. But what happened was that night I was turning off the fish tank lights, and I looked and I saw that the sphere and the triangle looked like they were not connected correctly. The sphere was way off to one side. So I go over to it, and I never do this. When I'm working with something like this, I've seen the effects. I basically said, you know, can I touch this? Do you want me to adjust this? What, you know, and ask questions. But I was on my way to bed. I was tired. Put my hand directly over that beam. And within a moment, I was like bouncing off the walls like I had just drank a bottle of whiskey. I was like, I had my hands out. I'm going like, oh my God, what just happened? And I finally managed to get into bed. And when I woke up in the morning, I was fine. But not shortly after waking up, I went to pick something up, and I had such excruciating pain that it was like, oh my God, I'm going to die here. You know, I didn't know where it came from. And what, telling a friend of mine what was happening, she said, so every time you get into the same position that you basically had when you put your hand in the field, that's where you got the pain. And I went, yeah, you're right. That's the position. And at first I thought I'd thrown out my back somehow, and this was because it was from my wrist all the way back to the middle of my back was the pain.
Let's take it away from pain. What is the sensation that you were getting? Because it was, it's different, wasn't it? It's not normal kind of situation.
No, because it was like an explosion in all every nerve from all the way from my wrist all the way back to my back, an explosion of just like pain, and then it was gone. And there wasn't any residual. I mean, it was like I could I had complete mobility except for that one position. And every time it was the same. I mean, like, I'm telling you, if I had something in my hand, I would have dropped it. You know, it's that. It's like one of the worst. But so momentarily that the first time I went, oh, did that really happen? You know? And I didn't get an adjustment, and by the next day it was gone. Or not gone, it was just, again, if I was in that position, I'd feel the same thing, but dull comparatively. So, anyway, so I'm reading Sean's book, and then like I said, there was nothing in it that I didn't already have some knowledge of. But the details, and the way that it was presented in a story like that, and one kind of like, here it is, I suddenly realized, my God, this world that we're, this old world, this old reality, is as nutty as can be. It's insane. And then you and I and Walt and Colleen got on to the radio show, and you're talking about the Glocke, which is the bell in Germany. They're doing basically the same thing. And I listened to you read that, and it was like, it was like two people wrote the same story, but from a different perspective. You know? And again, it's the synchronicity of all these strange subjects coming up all at once. I can't remember, there were two more episodes on postings on Facebook where I went, oh, they're talking that time thing again. So there is something definitely happening out there in the, you know, universal consensus, the universal consciousness, I don't know what we want to call it, but there's something happening out there. It's almost like people, as they break free from the matrix, they're beginning to see the relationship of place and space and energies, and so therefore time starts to deteriorate because it's not being focused on with energy, because it's an illusion.
Yeah, and people are losing faith in it, because it's only the faith in time that keeps time timing. You know. So, yes. Hey, guess what?
Laura Cross is here.
Laura Cross is here! You can unmute now.
Hi, Laura. Welcome to the
Hi.
Show.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little too well, actually. Your mic's just a little, or if you could just lean back a little bit.
All right, I'll turn it down a bit. Is that better?
That's lovely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was loving listening to what you guys were talking about, because I'm so not in time now at all. Which is really cool.
Yeah, we noticed that you were late for the show.
Sorry, I was having computer issues and things. That's usually what happens when I try to do stuff. So, I tried to start early enough so that I would be here on time, but sometimes things don't work out as planned.
It's all right. It gave us time to talk about things that we were doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go.
And a lot of the same things are happening to me. So I think it was a great way to start the show. Absolutely.
Everything turns out to be fine. You know, it's like some of the biggest screw-ups turn out to be just the perfect thing to have happened. We just have to get out of the way and take... Well, it gets complicated. But listen, this is what we do on this show. I really try to find out who you are, okay? And so... If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some fundamental questions that don't seem to get asked of people on, you know, when we're doing this kind of a venue here. But where did you grow up, Laura?
I was born in Culver City, California, and I was raised in El Segundo, which is Southern California, about a mile and a half from the beach. And I was a beach baby. I went to school at El Segundo High School and, well, you know, El Segundo School District. That town just happened to be kind of a rarity because it was bordered on one side by Standard Oil, and on the back side kind of bordered by all of the defense contractors, Northrop Grumman, North American Rockwell, many of those things, and my dad worked for North American Rockwell as I was growing up. Also, we were bordered on the other side by Los Angeles International Airport. And then, of course, the beach. So I had an interesting upbringing because my family, extended family, was of Freemasonry. And I was also given, I don't know, maybe information to me all along at a young age about things that were happening in the world that, I mean, I really didn't understand the information that was being given to me. My dad kind of took me aside when I was about 9 years old and told me, I had three older brothers, and he told me that out of all of his children, I was the smartest, and that because of that, I was going to be given special information. So we had long talks, and he used to take me on special outings, which my brothers really didn't like that fact, because he was obviously showing me special attention in a way that he was not showing them. Now, he used to take them hunting. He used to take me hunting. We all learned to shoot. We all learned to be in the woods. We learned about how to survive in the woods. We learned a lot of survival things. Our family, like I said, was a huge extended family. My dad had 16 brothers and sisters. So I had lots of aunts and uncles and lots of cousins, and we used to have huge parties at my aunt's house. And we would share. So we were a real community. There was also some strange stuff going on at those gatherings that, wasn't so special. And, I was essentially, taken to places other than the place that we were having dinner during those outings sometimes, and things were done. So I've had a very, interesting life, and, there have been some horrific things that have happened to me along the way, really horrific. So I mean, I try not to share too much of those things because people, really get upset about it. Because they don't want to hear that things like that can happen, but they are happening, and they're happening at an alarming rate, actually. El Segundo,
Can I just interrupt here for a sec? Okay,
yeah.
We don't have to get into the happenings themselves, but a lot of people just get destroyed when they run into any kind of just activity that goes beyond what the human brain wants to deal with. Let me put it to you that way. What do you think it was in you that allowed you to be able to process? You seem to be able to have processed this a lot better than most people. Or did it make some dramatic changes to you? It certainly made you look at life differently than others.
Well, yeah, it did. Mainly because, I think because my father and my mother realized at a young age, I don't like to refer to it as special, but I believe that I had special abilities from birth. And so my mom and dad, even though they were involved in some pretty shady stuff with the relatives, they gave me tools. They gave me tools that kind of led me down the path that even though these things were happening, I needed not to use them as something that was potentially negative, I guess. I don't like to look at things like they're either negative or positive. I just kind of now view things as energies that come at me, and some of it is useful and some of it is not. So I think they gave me that tool to use. And because of the way that I perceive things, I was not impacted in the way that a lot of other people might have been. Now, I have had my struggles with all of this, and it's just been within the last probably 5 years that I really figured out that those struggles were intentional and that it was my duty to seek knowledge for myself and for the planet in general and the universe, to be able to educate others in a way that is palatable to them.
Yeah, so what I'm hearing here, and thank you for sharing, but what I'm hearing here is that because of your mom, and I really think that, you know, we have to understand that we are special and not keep backing away from that nomenclature, that title. We are special. But we're special because so many other people came before us saying, we need help. Something's wrong. And that energy and that motivation to find solutions and to find some way out of the darkness is what propelled the universe to tap certain souls, or perhaps we volunteered, I don't know exactly how that went down, to be like trailblazers, like pathfinders, to be out there, to understand quicker, to get experiences that train them in a very focused way to get to some point in time. Because, you know, I'm like 67 years old, and I look back at my life and I go, like, all of those bizarre things, I go, why am I doing this, have actually taught me to be able to do what I have to do right now. So, in effect, we are special in that we were the people that were just trained to be able to get here, to explain it. You know, so we have to say, we're special, but all the people that asked for us to come and just, can you figure it out? I mean, you know, so I really do think that your parents probably realized you were special and gave that to you. Because if you realize you're special, that there's something inside of you that makes you incredibly important, then a lot of the stuff that happens outside of you, you can deal with. If you don't have that identity, if you don't have that feeling about yourself, these things can destroy you. And I'm telling everybody who ever listens to me on any of these programs, you can empower yourself to be that kind of very critical person, because we all are. But you have to realize that if you realize every single thought that you have is so motivating, so important in the whole scheme of things. So we got to understand that it's in the minds, it's in the power of the minds, and that your ability to just go through horrific events and get to where you are now, Laura, is you know, thank you for being there, and probably thank your parents for giving that, because somebody has got to set it up for you, unless you're extremely special and you're tapped into spirit guides that are walking with you. Did you feel any spirit guides with you?
I've had many.
As a child?
Yeah. I had an angel that used to visit me all the time, and she was a little old lady. She was about 5 foot, and she used to wear this like kind of granny nightgown, and she had this gray kind of really wispy hair. But she used to come to my door sometimes when I was in distress, and she would put her hand on my head and tell me that it was okay, and that I just needed to be strong, and that I was loved and cherished, and that I needed to continue no matter what. So, I see spirits all the time. I see many things. I communicate with animals. I have many special abilities and skills and talents that, I'm really just now starting to discover. And I'm 58 years old. I want our next generation, which are part of us, to really tap into those things now and not wait until they're almost at the end of their lives to get this whole thing, because it is totally possible for them to get this whole thing. And in that frequency and in that energetic, I guess, availability, we can change things in a big way. Because I've done it to myself, and I'm living proof. There's no doubt about it. People that know me now, at this point in time, which is their construct, not mine, but people that know me now at this point in time realize that I am different than I used to be. And that's come about mainly because I've embraced who I really am. And I've died a couple of times, and I have not talked too much about those experiences because I didn't see a tunnel of light. I didn't see any of those things that other people have when they have a near-death experience. There were other beings that visited me during that time and took my hand and showed me many things that I needed to know to help me on this journey. And they were not of this planet. Well, they are of this planet because we have many different kind of species that are living here that other people are not aware of. And I was made aware of these things simply because of my dad's kind of access to some of the stuff that was happening in the military industrial complex and in the space program.
Laura. Sorry, Nancy, can I ask? Laura, your dad, see, this is really where it might get very interesting. Because Nancy and I were talking previously about the Sands of Time and Die Glocke, and here's the thing. Was your grandfather German?
My grandfather on my dad's side was Irish. And I believe that my grandfather on my mother's side was German and French. His grandfather was a slave owner. And he was big time Illuminati, or he was essentially Freemason. So both parents had Freemason ties.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, because I'm just looking at Project Paperclip. You see,
yes,
now you may have had uncles, you know, uncles in quotes, who Dad worked with, who would have this German background.
Okay,
Can you remember any people with these accents? Do you remember accents from your childhood?
Well, the deal is that I had a lot of contact with all those kinds of people when I was young. Because we had, like I said, we had a huge family, but we also had a large extended kind of family that were people that just came in and out of our lives. So there was all of that happening. And I believe for myself, which is stuff that I've just kind of uncovered recently and had actually, you know, visions and realizations of, because I'm living in a compartmentalized brain right now, where I have certain memories that have not been unlocked to me yet. But the boxes are flying open. There's lots of dirt in the boxes, but there's lots of nuggets in the boxes. So I'm digging through the dirt, and the dirt is really useful too, really useful. And the nuggets are really useful. So I have lots of memories that are coming back to me, and they're coming back to me fast now because I was not ready before. Not ready at all, and I'm ready now, and those things are coming back to me. So I believe that El Segundo was kind of a proving ground for many different kinds of government projects that were happening. I was monitored all my life through my doctor. There was some strange things going on with my family doctor, and I believe that I was under the microscope a lot, and I think that town was kind of a place where they were acting out the future that it is now, if that makes sense.
Here's the thing, Laura. Now, us on the outside have seen, you know, we see the military-industrial complex. It's this kind of huge, sprawling thing that fades off into the darkness, into the blackness. But now we're discovering that deep in the blackness are these projects that Nancy and I have been reading about. Because they started then. They started in 43. Well, they started before 40. They actually came to fruition in 43, which is a really interesting thing.
But, yeah.
But what I'm... Here's what I'm fishing for. Is now we know that they were messing about with time travel and gravitational things. Does that make any more of the... any more sense of the things that your dad spoke about in your private little times?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The deal is that he worked on the Apollo capsules, okay? He actually made parts for the Apollo capsules, and the whole time he was telling me, once he disclosed, because that's the deal here, okay? There was a disclosure to me when I was a young child, okay? I saw an alien craft many times. I see them now. And I was allowed to see those things, okay? There was a crash outside at the beach when I was a child, and my parents gathered us all up in the car because he was called on the phone and told to go down there and help with the crash. Now, there is no verification of this anywhere, okay? People say it was a plane crash, but it was not a plane crash. I remember going. There were bodies there, and they were not human. There were also pieces of metal that we all collected. My brothers and I collected up all these pieces of metals that were all over the beach. And we took them home, okay? Now, this was interesting metal. Because I would pick up a piece of it and I would crumple it like aluminum foil, and then when I released my hand, it would go flat out to a piece of metal that had no lines in it. It did not look like it had been crumpled at all. Now it did this on its own, and we thought, this is a great toy. So I felt pretty special that this was kind of actually happening to me. Now, a few weeks later, the boxes of all that metal disappeared. They were gone. And we were asking about it and things, and we never got any answers about any of it.
Laura, here's what I get. Whenever you touch anything, your DNA goes on it.
Yeah.
If you touch a piece of alien material, you get a part of it, because it's DNA. It's all about
right.
DNA. It's changed you. That's what did it. I think. if there's any story of something that would be a transformative experience that would open things up for you. Now, do you want to tell us or share with us what happened in the ensuing weeks or months after you touched this material?
Can I jump in here for a second?
Yeah, go.
Because remember that, but I'm back to the crash thing. So did you see that, what did the crash look like? I mean, could you see that it was, well, you knew it wasn't a plane.
Yeah, it was totally apparent that this was not a plane. Now, as a family, we have seen UFOs before, okay? And my parents explained it that, you know, these were kinds of the projects that my dad was working on, and that essentially that the space program was all a bunch of bunk, pretty much.
So you knew that from the get-go?
I knew that from a very young age. I don't know when that was disclosed to me, but, you know, like I said, I'm still having these boxes open, so I believe that it was when I was fairly young, because I was kind of a golden child. Now, something that I just had happen to me recently was the realization that I was actually, that I am actually of another race in addition to the human race, okay? And this is something that I have not discussed with anyone because I just really had this revelation and this knowledge opened to me within the past probably few days.
Now, did anybody say this to you, or it was just the all of a sudden you realized it? Did you awake?
Well, the deal. Okay, so the deal is that I have all these angels in my life, and I have these people that kind of come in and give me information along the way, and that's kind of what's been happening here. So, I started. I've been involved with Bill Brockbrader for a while, and with Eva Moore, and. Through his videos, some portals opened for me. And in addition to those videos, there was another man that's been kind of sharing some information with me that really helped me to see that, you know, I was planned because my two older brothers look entirely different than I and my younger brother look, okay? They were dark haired, dark eyes. My younger brother and I, were blonde hair, light eyes, and I believe now that, we were created because there was conversations between my mother and I and my father before I died that, kind of intimated that, she did not want to have any more children. He was punching holes in the condoms for her to get pregnant again. And I believe that at some point there was, some sort of alien abduction to my mother that maybe she was implanted. And I am a product of that. So this is new and this is, you know, this is probably, I mean, they all think I'm crazy anyway, but the deal is that they're really going to think I'm crazy when they hear this stuff. But this is what the truth is. I know it's the truth. I feel it. It explains a lot of the things that have happened to me during my youth. And this is amazing for me to remember because I now understand everything that is laid out for me, kind of what my mission in life is. And I've always had a mission. Like I said, I died twice. Both of those times, well, the first time was an accident, but I was given a choice then, and I was contacted by creatures not of this world, okay, during those incidents both times. And I have gotten to the point where I was totally overwhelmed and could not do what was set forth for me to do, even though I knew it was set forth for me to do, but I didn't have the tools. I didn't have the knowledge at that time. And I felt that my soul was being mercilessly attacked. I could not, it wasn't, you know, it was just too much for me to take. So, and I was asking to die. You know, I was asking to die. So I did. And that's when those revelations came to me and I realized that I needed to come back here because I was given a choice both times, clearly. And then I was shown information, more information. Just like on a movie screen, okay? So I had no white light that I went up into. That was none of the deals. These creatures, these beings, and they're not creatures, they're beings. They're just almost like a thought and not, physical in many senses. And, I really tuned in then to the point where I understood that we are just frequency, that we are energetic beings, all of us. This box that I inhabit is strictly my rapping for this point in time, and that I'm never ending and always continue, no matter if I'm in this particular container or not. So, I mean, that's really powerful knowledge to know, and that we have a choice to be in this particular package. I have a choice to be here. So, so I have to honor it, and I have to honor the knowledge that I have. And like I seek knowledge every day. I read. I'm a voracious reader. I've always been a voracious reader. I have read as many as 7 to 10 books a week, and that's because I had to make sense out of all of this. And so that's really what I'm doing now, and I'm trying to help others make sense out of this too, with my my transparency and my honesty. And I hope that that gets across to people, because this is not, I mean, a lot of the things that I say and that I know are not verifiable. They are not verifiable. I've tried myself to verify these things.
Well, so, they're verifiable because you experience them. You know, we cannot underestimate the experience, because there's things that I've experienced where I don't care what anybody says. It happened. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, when you go through these things, it's like that is more real than any other scenario in your life. And if you look back, you'll see that they're all connected. It's like a parallel universe that we flit in and out of, you know? But that's as real as anything. Well, actually, over here, I'm beginning to wonder if anything is real, you know, in the old reality of the old world. I so honor you for doing this, because it's the only way that we can all expand is to be honest with each other as to what's happening. Now, you just, you know, really, first off, any other group might think that that was odd. To us, this is not odd information.
This is like, it's more like, you know, okay, so what race, you know, where'd you come from? It's more like a chat-up line nowadays, you know. Ah, so what race do you belong to? You know, how many souls have you got?
Who's your daddy?
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, who is your daddy? Really? Right? And the funny thing is that, you know, my daddy always said, I am not your daddy. That's what he used to say to me. Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's what he would say to me. And I was like, you know, the deal is that I'm trying to make sense of all of this, right? Because my grandmother said to me early on, at about the same time, 9 years old, they decided that I needed to know a lot of stuff. So she said to me, and I was a beautiful little girl, totally blonde, you know, green-eyed, you know, light-skinned, everything. I was like white hair when I was young. So she said to me, she said, little girl, she said, the only thing that's going to save your life is if you get fat. You better start eating. That's what she told me. Now, for years, I was like, why would my grandmother do this to me? Why would she do this? Why would she teach me to be a compulsive overeater? Because that's what she did. But it didn't make sense until, like, maybe a few years ago that she saved my life in that process, because I was set for destruction at 17. Much like my mother's sister, who was murdered at 17, that we never even knew that she had a sister, okay? Never even knew. I found that out by doing research on the internet and found out that there was another sister. So,
did you ever talk to your mother about that?
Well, the deal was that she, by the time I had kind of discovered this, she had already had Alzheimer's and could not answer me about any of it. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, and both of my parents are dead. My dad was murdered when I was 17, because he was the person that went in my place, because they have to have it.
So because you were fat and didn't fit the profile, they wouldn't they wouldn't ask you to be the sacrifice, that it was your dad?
Yep. And he went willingly. He went willingly, okay? And I remember the time up to that point, he was having a very hard time, and he was talking to me a lot, and he was ill. He was physically ill because of this, okay? But he chose to go, okay? Because they take it, you know, they take somebody. And usually there has to be a choice made, okay? They don't just say, oh, we're going to take so-and-so. You know, you have to make a choice, okay? And my brothers didn't fit it. Didn't fit, okay? They didn't fit. So it was either him or me.
You know, and it's the same as the whole Abraham-Isaac thing all the way back.
Yep.
It's the same thing. You have to sacrifice that which you love.
That's
in
right.
order to join the club, in order to get the power, you have to sacrifice the thing that you love. And you see it all through. Every time there's the best friend is involved with the murder of the big music star or the film star. It's always the best
friend.
That's
right.
Because they're the Mason. And this is the Mason's M.O. My heart goes out to you, Laura.
Yeah, I'm piecing this all together because, like I said, my parents are gone. I can't ask them.
Let me interrupt you again. Now, at the time that your dad lost his life, did your mother give you any indications of that she understood it? Or, I mean, it was a murder, so the suspect is unknown. I mean, did you feel like maybe she knew more than she was saying?
Okay, so when I say murder, essentially, my dad died at work. He was heart attacked at work. Because where he worked was all part of this, too. So, I believe it was a heart attack gun. And my brother, who also worked at the same company at that time, was the only one that was called. There was never an ambulance called until after my brother got there. So I mean, I didn't realize at the time that this was a murder. It didn't occur to me until later, after I had done extensive research on heart attacks and those kinds of things. And they actually tried, you know, whoever it is that, you know, decided that, you know, they needed to scare me, tried to heart attack me a couple of times too. Okay. So that really kind of brought that whole scenario to the forefront, and I started to do a little more research on it. Now, I've lost two of my brothers, so I only have one brother left, and I don't even talk to him, and I don't even know if he's around. I tried to contact him. And I was to the point where I was going to contact Bill, the one that lives up here, and he worked for Boeing. After my dad died at work, this was back in 1975 in January. He got a job at Boeing. They built him a special room, okay, to operate his machines, okay. And he was very successful there, okay? And I believe that that was all part of kind of the bargain for him to be quiet. And I mean, I don't know if that's true. I was going to contact him and talk to him about all of this. And then he was killed or died in police custody on a vacation like 2.5 months ago. So I have to kind of think that the very fact that I was ready to go and ask him to disclose what he knew kind of might have played into that whole scenario. Also, he had had cancer from smoking, throat cancer, and he had lost his ability to talk and had to use one of those vibrator machine things, right? And he's been doing that for a long time. But like I said, I wasn't talking to my brothers because there was stuff that happened between us as children that wasn't all that great, and they were not, none of my brothers were really willing to kind of work through all of that. So I chose not to be present in their lives. So that was kind of the scenario with that. And I mean, if you think about it, you know, what a way to keep the information from getting out if we're not like, you know, we're not like checking our notes, right? You know, I mean, there's been, yeah, you know, I mean, if we're not like, you know, saying, hey, do you remember this? And, you know, hey, do you remember that? And do you remember this? And, you know, we're not doing that because we're at odds with each other because of stuff that happened. And that's kind of intentional. That's part of the programming. That's part of the MK Ultra of, you know, the other project that you mentioned. That's all part of that project. Okay. So my life is a case study of all of these things, because I am totally aware that I was supposed to be an MK Ultra Barbie doll, okay? Because I chose to eat and get fat, I was not prime for me to be carrying that out. And I got a lot of flack from my relatives, okay, about the fact that I needed to stop eating and lose weight. And I was always wondering why my aunts and uncles and my cousins were so fucking concerned, excuse my French, was so concerned with, you know, what size I was. and of course...
May the nun be with you.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It has saved your life. The nun has saved your life. Now you can let go of it, but it has saved your butt.
Well, and that's it. And I have let go of it, okay, because I've lost 140 pounds.
Yay! Excellent.
Right?
Yeah.
I made all the connections here, and I realized that this is what the deal was, and I don't have to be what I was, you know, in order to kind of, you know, and in a way it kind of shielded me from...
Are you guys there? Can you hear me? I've lost Laura.
I lost Laura. She shielded me from...
I know.
But,
okay, well, let's just take a break here. And,
sure, yeah, it's the top of the hour anyway. So, gosh, well, where should we go? I'm just looking up my list of things in this... list here of tunes, and I haven't got very many here that are playable, useful. There's like theme tunes. Hang on, let me just find it. There's got to be one here. Well, how about some Beatles? Because I'm always... Oh, there you go. Cream, The White Room.
Okay. See you after the break.
Shamanic Journey by Walt Silver. Feel like you are guided by spirits or angels or guides? Want to know who they are and what special message they may have for you? Have Walt Silver take a shamanic journey to contact these magical beings. Perhaps they have a tool to help you in the form of an energy device specifically made for you. Go to cosmicreality.net and click on the Walt Silver button. Walt Silver, a member of the Wolfpack.
Welcome back. Nancy, are you there with me?
I am, but...
Where's Laura?
No, she's not here. Well, dang. Oh, let's try again.
Yeah, well...
She said she was having computer problems, so maybe she had computer problems.
Well, maybe there's another computer problem. Can we talk about what Nancy? Well, we just heard, because I mean it's pretty pretty deep there about what's going on. I mean,
you know, it's so difficult for us guys,
yeah,
to imagine the complexity of this whole crazy Illuminati dark nights kind of place. I mean, who would live there? And yet it seems like there's an awful lot of people that live there. That's what keeps getting to me, is that it's really extensive and obviously very controlled. That's one of the more fascinating stories I've ever heard, actually. She needs to write a book.
Oh, totally. I mean, the one thing, you know, she's had, it's like she didn't want to say it to anybody, but it's really now we're ready. The world is ready for information like this because of that the truth embargo that started in the 1940s. You know, before I was even born, I'm experiencing the result of those choices, and that's why the world has always seemed weird to me. Like there's something missing. This is wrong. What's wrong? Yeah, it's the whole splinter in the mind thing.
Well, first off, maybe we should give Laura the telephone number in case she can hear us, because she could call in, correct?
Yeah, hang on. I'll call us on 775-773-3431. Oh, maybe, but I might need to set the... Oh, damn. Okay, so, Nancy.
Yes, to answer that question about that, we were talking about it, you know, that whenever I'm reading something about that particular time, something happens. It's like I get a different feeling about the book. I get a different feeling about the experience of reading something like this. There is something that changed in us, I think, as humanity. And sometimes the most bizarre and crazy things that happen out there turn out maybe for the best. And it might be that when they ripped the fabric of time, they also did something to our DNA or our energetic bodies, or something changed drastically. Because, like I say, every time I sort of get my head back into that place, it feels so different than here. Do you have that? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's discordant. It's out of space and time. It feels like it feels alien. That's what feels alien. It's not like extraterrestrials. It's like it's other. It's because, like Laura was saying, we're all frequency. And like I was talking with Nikki earlier, you know, like she says, God knows your name. You know, God knows everybody's name. And in that, everybody's name is a song, is a tune. God knows everybody's frequency. And so when we go into these kind of frequencies, they're in different places. They don't have octaves like we do. stuff like that, you know what I'm saying? It's like suddenly listening to Indian music for the first time ever.
Well, when you think about the whole Nazi experiment, it baffles the imagination. I mean, it really does. When you think of... When I was a historian, and I really tried to come to some comprehension of how that whole thing happened. And that's what led me to, you know, get into reading The Spear of Destiny, which is totally magic. And then seeing this connection to the Nazis, where Hitler saw it in the Vienna Museum, and then really his whole life became focused on the spear. And that led him to the power echelons of Germany, where when the first things they did when he became chancellor was get the Australians to agree to join with Germany, and then he had the legal right
which is required of the Spears ownership, to go there and pick it up himself. And, you know, they talked about it in, not in Sean's book, but in De Glocke, that, you know, there was the Spear of Destiny when Hitler went and took the Spear of Destiny. The only way you can understand that time frame is in one of bizarre energy, and I mean the story is so bizarre. You got some guy that believes in this Spear of Destiny thing, and if he has it, he's going to be able to control the world. And you've got these seven women that are the maidens that are prophesizing and speaking to off-world beings, and the whole story is nuts, except that 60 million people died because of this story.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such an insane scenario. By the way, we're talking about a book which I kind of found on the web. It was, it's essentially the two books that we're talking about, just for those who are tuned in here, is Sands of Time, and that's available from StrangeUniverseRadio.com. The other book, which is called De Glocke, DIEGLOCKE. Now, it's quite rare, but I got it from Amazon. I think you can buy it. It's by Kelsey Bowman. The byline. But they're both based on journals of people who were inside the military-industrial complex. Now, the problem is that they're all Freemasons and Nazis, and they're all sworn to secrecy. And so they can't tell the story of what is so important. And that's why we have to rely on whistleblowers and shills and all these people who leak us these tiny little nuggets of information. And we have to entertain, until we find genuine people like Laura, who have kind of... Laura was, in a way, she was... thrown out, because they don't care, if you think about Nazis, if you don't fit in, you're dead. You're dead to them, and you might as well be dead. It'll put you out of your misery because you're not perfect like us, and that's the whole Nazi attitude. Yeah, and the other one is and they always do it. They get someone to give them information, and then they kill them. They extract the information and use torture to do it, and vile torture, and then do away with the person. So there's the Nazis. So they don't really care about people, and they have a very kind of Spartan attitude. And so does this kind of, like you're saying, that the sort of Black Knights, and these are the people. Both of this group, these two groups, are the ones that are behind the space program and the secret space program.
And so many other things.
And the military-industrial complex, death, prison, schooling, education, slavery industry, human trafficking, the list goes on, sewerage, everything handled by Halliburton.
Well, one of the weirder stories, and I think I first heard it from Al Bellick from the Philadelphia Experiment, because he came out and he put together a DVD, I think it must have been back in the 90s, that I actually got a hold of and listened to. And he tells about their ability to actually time trip a classroom of kids, so that they're taken and given mind MK Ultra on steroids, and then sent back to the classroom at the same virtual instant that they were taken out, so the teacher never sees them go. And that these are like walking zombies out there that can be turned on and create all sorts of havoc. And that every kid out there is like this, which I, based on what I know of their science and what they're capable of doing, it may be possible. But what they're missing is that you can screw with the brain. You can do a lot of things. But these little vehicles that we've got, these little spacesuits that we've got on, these things that allow us to work in this 3D environment, That's all they're affecting. They're not affecting what's behind it. And I'm suspicious now that everything that they're doing is actually causing us to advance faster. You know, that they've been tricked by Gaia or some other higher force, but that this mucking around is like when they mucked around with the DNA and inbreeding and whatever else they did. You know, it's another way of manipulating. And it's just something that I'm feeling.
I'm personally feeling that they're holding us back using frequency, and now they're dialing back the frequency. They're calming it down. Thank you, Laura, for coming back in. We've been discussing some of the implications of what you've been talking about, which are just far-reaching and very, you know, intense and amazing. And thank you, and bless you. And you've got to write a book. And this is how the world knows about stuff like this, because, and that's why you're a special person. That's why they could see it, and that's why they told you, and that's why Dad told you.
I mean, I don't know where you lost me at. I think I was talking for a long time and I didn't even know I was gone. But, you know, that's kind of, I mean, the deal is that they want to interrupt the frequency now, don't they? Because they don't want this information getting out. So that's kind of the deal. You know, and for any of you out there, I'm a targeted individual, okay? They target me all the time. I've been targeted by guys in cars with these little freaking boxes and stuff. You know, I mean, I can't make this stuff up, right? I mean, I didn't even know about those things until somebody, you know, tried to attack me with one when I was driving that road. So, you know, that's kind of the deal here, you know. We sign up for certain things, and some of us sign up for certain things and we're not aware. So we sign up. Until later.
Well, don't you feel, Laura, that, I feel that there are certain rules that are very subtle, but very, very powerful. And, you know, like people have asked me, well, why do you suppose you've lived this long? And it's because I think I'm protected. And so because I think I'm protected, in reality is what I think it is, I think that certain people have an energy field that says, I'm on a mission, I'm going to accomplish that mission, and you cannot stop me. And if you get fixated on that energy, it's like they can run around you all day long. They're just not going to be allowed to get through.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, well, it is all about our frequency, right? And if I'm so aware at this point that they can't come at me with any of their weird stuff because I've done so much research on all of it, okay? You know, and I'm totally aware. I mean, I don't take any prescription drugs, okay, because those are all designed to kill you. I find natural methods, you know. I have shungite in my water that I drink, you know, in the water that I drink every day, and I drink a lot of water. I mean, there's things out there that are helpers for us, and people need to do the research to find out what those things are to make them healthy. Like I said, I've lost 140 pounds, and, you know, I haven't been on a diet, okay? Really. I just started eliminating things and adding other things and, you know, figuring out what works, okay? Because that's kind of what we are. We're like these amazing machines, and, you know, we just have to feed it right. So, and, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't think that, like, diets are the deal, but it's kind of like that. It's, you know, it's like you said, where, you know, they've gotten to the point now where they're not messing with me that much, other than, you know, giving me the electronic bullshit, the electronic interferences that I have. But, you know, I'm really patient with that at this point. I just kind of go, okay, so here we go again. You know,
well, you know, you got shungite, okay? And not only that, but you've got shungite above you in a satellite system. You know, that's my experience. My experience tells me it's very, very real. Shungite is now all through the satellite system, so you're being beamed down shungite all the time. So
nice.
And shungite, the magic of shungite is the fact that it only works when it is imprinted with a human thought. You know, so it's like you just have to tell it, you know, please, I need you to protect me. Keep this crap away from me. And you, as long as you're claiming dominion over yourself and dominion over the environment, the Shungite will automatically just respond. And it'll put a protection grid up where these things will not work. The chemtrails will disappear. I'm telling you, just go out there, claim dominion, and say, you know, give permission to Shungite, because that's the thing, is that we're going like, well, technically we should be able to tell it to do this and you know, tell with free will. And yes, technically that can be done. Anybody could do it. Gaia could do it herself. But we have to learn how to manipulate energy, and therefore the human being has to understand how important the imprint is of the human thought on any of this magical stuff that's happening. So just give it a try. Because the Shungite is the levels of playing field. It's giving us powers that the other side can't deal with, because it's coming from the quantum level, and they cannot muck with it, because Shungite can only be operated by people with pure hearts. So,
And the thing about it is that, I mean, Shungite just recently came into my life. Angela gave me a piece about 3 months ago, and she said, here, put this in your water. And so I started drinking, I have a really good filter at my house, so I put all of my water through that filter, but then after it goes through the filter, I put it into, you know, glass bottles, and then I put the Shungite directly in that water, and that's what I drink. So, and it also goes to make coffee or, you know, anything cooking or anything like that. So, I mean, I'm low on funds, so I don't have a lot of money to buy all the products that I need to buy, you know, the Shungite to be able to do this. So I figured, you know, this is kind of good that I can actually do this. And I noticed that there has been a marked difference in, because I usually hear tones in my head a lot. They're always sending me tones and stuff, and I have a smart meter that's right outside my window here that's on the other apartment building. There's, you know, I'm the only apartment in my building that has a smart meter on it, okay? So, I know I'm being, you know, kind of, you know, having these frequencies that come at me and stuff, but I think you're totally right about the deal is that through my conscious directed thought, even before I was doing the Shungite, I realized that I don't have to accept any of that stuff, and that I don't consent to it. I don't consent to the chemtrails. I say it out loud. I say it a lot. I do not consent to a lot of things. I say it out loud. I have no problem with doing that. If people look at me strange, I just go, you know, you consent to this? I have to ask them, you know, do you really consent to this? You know, because then they always have this like puzzled look on their face, and they usually ask me questions after that. So I use everything as an opportunity to educate. Because that is one more bit of frequency that is going to go out into the universe, and joined with mine, that makes it that much more powerful. So, I have a problem with people that are like, oh my God, they're just so stupid, and they're just so this, and they're just so that. Well, you know, the deal is that, you know, those people that are saying that were stupid a few months ago too. so we have to kind of like say, you know what, we all come to our enlightenment in our own pace, and it usually comes after something personal happens to us, because we have to experience it before somebody could just tell us. We have to experience it, so it becomes our knowledge. Which is what I was saying before, if I didn't get caught up before that. But that's the deal. I mean, you know, like I said, Einstein was a smart guy, and he had it, all right? You know, our experience is our knowledge. Now, my knowledge is probably really different than a lot of people's knowledge, but I have a lot of experiences that have led me to where I am right now. And I keep having more of these experiences, because once you start to open up, And I mean, I just had this realization of, you know, the fact that I just had this realization within the last day and a half that I am of some other species, okay? you know. So that's kind of the thing. I mean, once you start to open one portal, then the other portals start to open up, and there's amazing things there. There's just amazing things there, and I'm just grateful for everything. I'm grateful. I really am. I'm grateful for every single thing. I don't consider any of it negative. I just consider all of it part and parcel of who I am, and it makes my mission that much more important, because not everybody has experienced what I have, and yeah, and I guess I'm special because of that I have experienced these things that no one else has, but I want to be able to share that with people and not have them say, she's a crackpot and she's crazy.
That's the thing, is that we don't know if other people have experienced it until you say, well, this is what happened to me, because then somebody says, well, actually, it happened to me, too. It's the not talking.
Yeah.
You know, so we have, that's one of the main reasons that we're here, is just to make people start to feel comfortable with some of the more bizarre things that we know is true. You know, I'm so grateful to have you share this with us. Now, the Jay, you're there, correct? Yes?
Yes.
There? Okay. Now, doesn't Simon go into this concept of genetics and people? And Laura, are you familiar with his concepts?
Well, you know what? I just had an angel send me Simon Park's video, and that was really... that was instrumental to getting me on the road to knowing and having the memories open to me that, yes, I am of these other beings. Okay? So that was Simon Park's, somebody sent that to me. I have many angels in my life. I have many people that are sending me things and they're sending it to me at the right time. Somehow they know when the right time is, and they do that. And, I've had somebody send that to me. And after that, and after Bill Brockrader's video of aliens and all of that, I made the connection that, yeah, this is who I am. And I believe I'm, part Nordic and human and whatever else. Who knows what else they put in there? You know what I mean? So that's kind of where I'm at this point. And this was just realized within the last, week. Okay. So, and that's only because I've been seeking knowledge everywhere I can get it. And some of the stuff I know immediately if what I'm hearing is bunk. I know immediately almost now. I don't even have to like quantify it or go through it or any of that thing. I'm just like, oh wow, okay, this really applies to me and this does not. And I don't know where that came from, but it's not part of my experience and my knowledge.
And do you find that it's almost like dominoes? It's like you have to get this piece before the second piece makes any sense.
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? It's like that. Why I think that we've had, these lives where we get all this information, and in many cases, it's downloads from ETs or interdimensional. Who knows where some of these downloads come, but they sort of sit in your brain. And then all of a sudden, you're led down a path and you go, oh my God, I've heard this before. Boom, with that piece,
like,
you can now go
ding,
to the
ding,
next.
Ding.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we hit the one on that one, all right? It's because I have all this information obviously floating around because I'm seeking information on every level. And so a lot of it's like, that doesn't apply to me, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't apply to me later, all right? So I can't throw anything out. I just kind of have to go, okay, what's useful for me right now? Let's file this back in the files back there, and hopefully that will come, whatever the revelation with that information will come to me. And like I said, it is coming to me. I have people in my life now that have just like Luz and JP and you and you know, Coleridge and Jude Rogers. I mean, just so many different people. Susan was so, like, just so many people that are just cut, like, bringing, you know, these pieces, you know, like offerings. It's just so amazing, and I feel so grateful that I have gotten into a community where we're cooperating with each other, because we all have the same mission, even if we don't agree. The deal is, and what I tell people is that I love you even if we don't agree, okay? Doesn't matter whether we agree or not. You know, we don't have to be on the same page on everything. We can still offer each other knowledge, and we can still offer each other great experiences. If we get past the thing that, you know, people have to be right. I don't have to be right, okay? I only have to be right for me. My truth is not everybody else's truth. And I have no right to judge other people based on their experiences. That's not my job. My job is to put out what I know, and hopefully people will use it for themselves or discard it depending upon, you know, what works in their life and what gets them to the next level. And that's really what we ought to be doing right now, is just saying, you know, this is not useful to me, but I'll follow it away until later, because it may be useful later.
Well, when you talk about the people and the way that they respond to, let's say, alternate concepts of reality, I really believe that we are frequencies, and a frequency signal is fairly complex. So we've got these two realities that are right now parallel. The one we're building with the new earth that Dolores Cannon did live long enough to see, even though it wasn't completely built. We were doing this when she died, and I was freaked out. I said she was promised she would see it, and then I realized, no, we had already started building a new reality, a new world. And that, you know, okay, so we've got this parallel reality. And what I believe is going to happen is that certain frequencies, to be able to exist on the new reality, you have to have a certain vibration. Otherwise, you're not going to fit. It's not going to be a fit. So what's happening is we get stronger on this new reality. The energy levels are coming up at such a point that other people that are still in the old reality are starting to feel the vibration, whether or not they're getting it in their heads. And that when we finally get the, you know, the thing revved up to a certain point, they're just all going to jump ship. You know? So I just say to them, not a problem, because they're not a problem. You know, because if they're not acting out their own free will, if they're just taking the ride, if they're not saying, no, there's something wrong, or I've got to find this out, or don't talk to me, I don't want the status quo to change, just leave it alone, I'd rather be an oyster, an ostrich with my head in the sand. Those kind of people, they've given up their right to free will. You know, so, you know, I'm not going to leave you guys there in my own heart of hearts, me, one individual. I don't feel good leaving anybody in that darkness. Let's get them all off. And if I have to do that by just get the frequency up until they all get there and then jump ship and they don't ever go through the awakening, that they never see the magic, you know, I'm still going to get them off of that. So when you put out your story and Jay puts his out and I put mine out and so many others, what we're doing is we're saying, hey, we're having a damn good time here because we're awake and we're seeing what's happening. And now, more importantly, we are actually influencing what's happening. And I think that that's why we've got all this time connection, because it was Jay that pointed it out. Well, maybe it's up to us to write the end of those stories that started in 43. Just kind of went off.
And that's it. That's it in a nutshell. It really is. So the deal is that I don't have, you know, I'm not making, you know, I'm just like a wake up already. I'm just like, wake up already. You know, I'm here in this place and it's amazing and I want you all to join me. I'm not trying to keep this secret. I'm not trying to hide it. I'm not trying to be in secrets, you know. We're only as sick as our secrets, and I've been pretty sick with the secrets that I've been carrying, okay? So I'm not being secretive anymore. And that's why I'm seeking the knowledge, because, you know, one of my things is, you know, I seek knowledge, I behave in the knowledge, I act in the knowledge, and then I share it. Now, all of us need to be doing that. Every single one of us need to be doing that. And if you've gotten blocked and you're not out there seeking knowledge, because you're stuck in this matrix and you think that the only thing that you have to do is get up every day and go to your job and collect your paycheck and come home, there's way more out there than that, okay? I don't work a regular job, but somehow I managed to get all my bills paid, okay? And I don't worry about it. That's like not even fifth on the list most of the time, because somehow or other, my bills all get paid, right? Somebody comes in and says, oh, I got a job for you, or somebody comes in and says, here's some money for you, or something like that. And that's kind of the deal. And the cooperation opens up once you let go of this old thought, well, you know, I've got to have this house, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. I mean, my needs are not that great, okay? You know, I don't have to have a flashy new car. That's not important to me. I'd rather drive around in my beater that's, you know, bent up, because when I go to change lanes, people move.
No, you know, we've talked about that concept of going out there as energy bodies and influencing everything. And what the problem does become is that people say, well, if I had a new car, I would be that much happier. And that's really not a very efficient way of manifesting. Because if you say, I want to feel joy, I want to feel accomplishment, I want to feel love, if you put the emotions out of what you want to feel, then the universe will give you exactly what will create that environment. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to... you have to go with the emotions.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing here. And that's what my parents told me, okay? Many times they told me, always stay in contact with your joy, your peace, your love, your kindness, and your truth, okay? Always be in contact with those things, because those are the things that will save your life. And they have saved my life many times, okay? If I'm threatened, I go to joy. I go to love. I go to peace. I go to kindness. I go to truth. Every time, automatically.
Let me ask you, Laura, now, the same people that essentially were going to sacrifice you at the age of 17 also gave you that insight?
Well, I don't want to say that, but my experience is that... That was supposed to happen, but because there was a choice that was made that was different than what was supposed to happen,
what I'm getting at is that it seems incongruous that those kind of two messages, the one where your dad is saying, yes, there's all these secrets, and you know, they all seem to believe in collateral damage. They don't have the same kind of, you know, belief in the one human being. For some reason, it seems to be missing in everything that I see about them. And yet you've got parents that are playing in that playpen, but at the same time able to give you such a very important message. And I think it's the dichotomy that we see in some of these people that kind of like is very confusing. You know, what do they know that allows them to exist in those dual roles, so to speak?
Well, I think that because of their experience, they decided, okay, they made a conscious choice that even though these other things were going on, they were not going to be active participants. Okay, it was almost like they were physically there, but they weren't spiritually there. And I think that is huge. And I believe that was where my mother and my dad kind of stood. They both were on board with the physical part of it. Yeah, I have to do these kind of things in these certain circumstances, but my choice is not to put the energy other than I physically show up and participate, okay? Now, one experience that I had when I was a kid, and I didn't even realize it until I had started, I went in to go do plasma, to donate plasma. And the memory that I had at that time, she was examining my vein, and she said, "Why?" She says, "You've got all these scars on your vein here." And I was like, "Well, what's up with that?" Because, I mean, I hadn't really been able to give blood before, because every time I did, I would pass out. But when she said that to me about the scar on my arm, I had this memory of being in my doctor's office with my mother and him taking out a silver cup and a knife and slashing my arm and draining blood into a cup, and they both drank from it. Now, the only memory that I had had of that whole thing before that was being out in the hall of the doctor's office and passing out and waking up in a pool of blood where my arm had leaked out onto the floor. That was the only memory that I had had of that whole scenario until I guess I was ready to actually accept the truth about it. Now
when did that truth come to you? What prompted that memory?
Well, that memory, I mean, it actually happened I started giving plasma back in, I guess I've been doing it like a year now. So a year ago, I had that memory. Okay, after all this time, here I am 58 years old, and I could not give blood all this time because I would pass out and didn't know why. So, I do have PTSD, there's no doubt about it, but, you know, those things are getting less and less all the time because I'm not afraid of the memories. I used to have terrible nightmares. I used to have just, you know, awful things that kind of kept me from moving forward. And that's all intended, because when they compartmentalize you like that, it keeps you from seeing the truth. You only see portions of it because you don't remember. You have no memory. And that's part of the MK Ultra thing and Project Blue Beam. All those projects are pretty much, you know, made to kind of distort your view of reality and keep you from remembering who you really are in your soul self. So when I had that memory, I was grateful that I had that memory because I was like, wow, you know. So, and I've been giving plasma for a year now. So, you know, that helps my bottom line, but it's also given a lot of people, in 1 year I managed to save one person. So I think that's a significant discovery, and, you know, there's this huge benefit in more ways than one. So that's kind of the deal about it. Am I frightful about having memories? No, I'm not frightful at all. I just go, and I used to be, because, you know, I spent years in therapy. I was also on psychotropic. I was on, at one point, 60 pills a day. I was like a zombie. And that was for a good, you know, 5 years, where I was taking all those medications, Wellbutrin and all of those things, you know. So then when I went off of those things, my psychiatrist told me that I would probably be dead in a few months because, you know, I would kill myself or whatever. So, but obviously, that was not the case at that point.
Well, anyway. Yeah, you killed your old self.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You got off the pills, and you're no longer that zombie. I've seen it in so many people.
Yeah, and then I don't even need any of that stuff, okay? Because I actually, you know, figured out that the frequency, and I use Rife frequencies all the time, and those are on YouTube if anybody wants to do those. But, you know, back in 2012, you know, I was on short final for a motorized chair, and had to have both knees replaced, and was told that I had, they make a judgment about your joint health, and it goes 1 to 5, and I was at 4.5 at that point, so, you know, that was 3 years ago, and I'm out walking on the beach, I'm dancing, I'm doing things that I really shouldn't be able to do, but I am. My blood pressure is that of a 20-year-old runner, okay? So
now, Laura, what happened in your environment, in your head, that allowed you to make that break?
Well, really, I decided that there were other things that I needed to find out, so I just kind of, you know, sought out the information, and then I had somebody on YouTube or somebody on Facebook say, well, have you heard of the right frequencies? And so I started doing those, and...
Okay, can you just spell that out so we know what the word is? What's the word?
It's rife. It's like life with an R. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And this is something that has been around for a very long time, and people are not using it to the benefit that they need to. Now, most of these recordings are like maybe 10 minutes long, okay? But they have everything in there for every possible thing. They have it for mental illness, they have it for, you know, for thyroid. Okay, I had Hashimoto's disease. I was taking thyroid. I was taking thyroid from the time I was probably 12 years old. I don't take thyroid anymore. My thyroid is working. I went to the doctor. She said, why is your thyroid working? And I said, I don't know. You explain it to me, right? the last time I went and had x-rays done on my knees, the doctor's like, why is there cartilage growing in your knees? And I'm like, I don't know. You explain it to me, right? Because what am I supposed to say to them? I started listening to these frequencies on YouTube, and now all of a sudden I have all these amazing health things happening to me, and they're going to say, you're just crazy. We need to put you on psychotropic drugs. So I don't even go to the doctor anymore because I don't want to have to explain what I'm doing, because every time I've tried to explain it to them, they just look at me like I'm totally crazy, and, I just don't go anymore. I don't have to go anymore. Like I said, my health is, I've lost all this weight, building muscle. I decided that I had to be the change that I wanted in everyone around me and in the world. So, I sought out the information, and it's funny how once you start to seek the information, it comes to you in many different forms and many different ways. And people bring it to me, like I say, it happens to me every day, where people say, oh, you need to watch this video, I think this is going to help you on your path, because other people know that from the things that I say that this is the time that they need to share this information with me, because that's kind of how frequency works. You know, you bring in what you put out, and if you're not putting out anything, then obviously you're not going to have anything come into your life, and you're going to be stuck in this matrix, which is you're going to work, getting up every day, going to work for somebody else, and you're contributing to their value but not your own, and that's really important for people to understand that. You know, are you contributing to your value or to somebody else's? And, you know, is that big house that that you don't even get to spend time in because you're always working to be in that big house, is that really how you want to spend your life? I mean, I'd rather be in my apartment that's not too much money and do whatever I want. And I pretty much do that. So, and I figure out a way to do it. So, or it comes to me from other places. So that's kind of how this whole thing works. I mean, you put the frequency out there, and then somehow or other, the frequency is rewarded with other frequency that helps you to move along. So the rites have really helped me. Like I said, you know, I've been using the Shungite. That's really helped me. Many things have helped me. You know, the very fact that I go out and walk, on my walks, I always have amazing thoughts and revelations, because I'm all about nature and beauty, and that's part of who I am. You know, I'm a musician, so I sing, and, you know, people call me a rock star. That's what they say. But the deal is that I sing, and I have a really good voice, and I've worked hard at it. And part of that is to bring people in. I do work with PTSD veterans and other people that have that. They are drawn to me because I no longer have it, and I talk to them and counsel them, and I have many military buddies that tell me things. They tell me things all the time that are top secret things, and that's part of the reason I know what I know about things that are going to transpire. And you know, they're not afraid to tell me these things, okay? And that's the key here, that we need to not be afraid to tell secrets, because I'm not going to use it in a way that's going to come back to haunt them. I'm going to use it in a way that's going to help other people kind of get on board. And they already know that.
Let me just ask you, do you have a website, or how can people get in contact with you?
Mainly, I just have my Facebook page, Laura Cross, and I'm accepting friends of all kinds. I am working with Luz right now, and we're in the process of releasing her recordings that she has, which are the Seven Pillars, which have also helped me a great deal. And those are truth, acknowledgement, fear, errors, judgment, clarity, and self-responsibility. Now, those are recordings that cover those topics, but they're also something much more, because they actually align to your seven chakras. The seven chakras, when they're lined up with those recordings, open up some portals in most people to healing and revelation. Now, I stopped drinking, okay? I mean, I was never an alcoholic, but, you know, there were times when I would go to bars and stuff, and people would buy me drinks, and then I would buy a drink when I went in there, and then they'd buy me drinks, and then I was drinking too much and all of that stuff. But the deal was that I didn't even make any kind of a conscious choice to stop drinking. I just stopped because my frequency got to such a level that I did not want to have to recover back to my frequency after I'd gone out and had some drinks the night before. So I don't even miss drinking. I don't miss having alcohol in my life.
Those things that seem to be important seem to be falling away from us. Unfortunately, we are at the end of the show. JP's got an extraordinary guest coming on shortly. Laura, I cannot explain how very grateful I am for you. I so appreciate you, because it's your kind of message that so many people really have to listen to. So hopefully we can get together again, and you know, contact me. We'll get you some more Shungite. Jay, who do you have on next?
Cool.
Laura, thank you so much. I honor you for the way you dealt with today. Thank you so much. Up next, I've got Tolek from the Andromedan Council, but not only Tolek from the Andromedan Council, I also have Mark Kimmel from the Andromedan Council too. So I have two Andromedan Council members. These, by the way, Andromeda Council doesn't necessarily mean the council from Andromeda, but is the council that meets Andromeda. or mates in the Andromedan biosphere, which is like not far away. So we're going to hear news from the secret wars, the extraterrestrials, and everything going on around us, and hopefully we'll get some clarity about really what's going on, the secret space wars, and all of that stuff. Laura, Nancy, I think we better play the old extra, the outro. There you go. Want to say goodbye?
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. Bless everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.